There's freedom. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name tonight that we have perfect liberty and freedom in this service to minister what you would have minister, to say what you would have said. Father, we thank you. We'll be sensitive to our hearts, both as we teach and preach, but also as we hear and listen. We'll be sensitive to receive instruction, sensitive to receive guidance. And Father, I just thank you, answers come tonight. Wisdom comes tonight. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Your Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Everything we need to know, everything we need to comprehend. And Father, I thank you that direction and insight is given to line people up in the right place, to line people up in your will, living and operating according to your plan. Father, we thank you. We move only by assignment. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you. You help us this evening. You help us. Help us listen. Help us hear. Help us teach and help us preach. And we'll be faithful to give you all the praise and all the glory for it. For you and you alone are worthy. And you alone are worthy of the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. How many of you know the Lord is good? And His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, there are ushers there in the aisles. Right now, they're going to have Bibles in their hands. You can lift up your hand, and they'll be more than happy, thrilled, in fact, to give you a Bible. So if you'd like one, just lift up your hand, and they'll be faithful to give you one. Amen. You can open up those Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Well, you know what? Go over to John. John. And let's look at John chapter 11. Well, we'll start in chapter 10, and then we'll move over into 11. Amen. Anybody ready to hear from the Lord this evening? That's what we want, right? You didn't come to hear me. Amen. I'm not that good. Amen. You need to hear from God. You need His will, His plan, His words. Amen. We've made reference past couple of Wednesdays to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I'm sure you're all very familiar with the passage of Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. Well, that's what we're after. We went on to say that the kingdom of God, and the word kingdom means the realm in which a king's will is done or executed. If you're living in a kingdom, you're living in a realm, in a place where the king's word is the final authority. His will is done above everyone else's. And the title of the message that I have on my heart to share tonight is this: assigned or desired. Assigned or desired. Are you operating and making choices, decisions based off of assignment or what you desire? Now, some of your desires, they're not bad, but some of them, they will counteract or go against the will of God or the assignment of God. And when that happens, it'll first lead to frustration, but then it'll lead to disaster. But when the will of God, when the way of God, when the plan of God is done in your life and mine, it leads to peace first, And then that leads over into victory. I heard a pastor, he was talking about a pastor friend who had made a wrong decision, gotten involved in some things that he shouldn't have been involved in. And he called him up, called that other pastor on the phone just to check on him. He said, "Brother, how you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm writing a book." And he said, "Really, what book are you writing?" He said, "Well, the title of it is How to Miss God and Be Miserable." He said, "I'm crying, my wife's crying, my kids are crying, Fido, the dog is crying, everybody is crying." Well, that's what happens when we miss God. Amen. When we miss God, when we get off His plan, when we get over into our ways, get over into what we have planned, what we think is best, without consulting God, finding out what the will of the King is, it leads to frustration. And then that frustration, it just leads to really ruin. And that's what the enemy's after, right? He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the way that he does that is by getting you off the plan of God. Be it by sin, be it by distraction, be it by lust. And I'm not talking about lust in the sense of lusting after a woman per se, or lusting after a man. I mean lust in the sense of your heart craving something so strong, it overrides what your spirit knows. See, he'll use that. And he'll stir up that desire. He'll kindle it in your heart. And the more you pay attention to it, and the more you give place to it, the stronger that desire will be. And oftentimes, that desire will be so strong that people even think it's God. Because their flesh and their soul longs for it. And as Brother Hagin said years and many times throughout the years, that once your flesh and your mind get to talking, they can get talking so loud that you couldn't hear God if you wanted to. Amen. Many voices in this world, none without significance. And so for your life and mine, we have to, especially in this time, in this season, in this hour we live in, we've got to make a decision to only move when we're assigned to move, told to move, to pick only by God's assignment. It's something about the time we're living in. There's some things coming down the pike. And I've said it before, but it's strong in me, that what happens in this season, in this time, in this year, it'll not just affect this year, but it's going to affect the next several years. And so the decisions that we're making now, they're not without consequence. They're not without, that would be the word. They're not without consequence. And I don't mean consequence just in a negative way. I mean a consequence as a final ending. The decisions that we make now. See, there are often times when you've made wrong decisions, but there's been mercy. And how many of you have been there before? I mean, you've made a decision and you knew I should not go down that road. You did it anyway, but there was mercy there. And so you were able to maneuver. But we're coming into season, or don't get me wrong, there's mercy, but things are being sped up. They're being sped up. And so the end of the decisions that we're making, both good and bad, they're going to bear fruit quicker and faster. And so with those decisions, we've got to make sure that we're moving based off of God's plan, based off of God's will, and to not be led by any other thing, even our own flesh and desires, but be led by God. In the book of John here, John chapter 10 and verse 39, we'll see something very interesting here. Jesus is preaching, and Jesus had some people that didn't care for him very much. That just proves you can walk in love and be perfect, but people still find something wrong with you. Amen. And watch this in verse 39. These people, they get stirred up because of what Jesus is preaching. He's making himself to be the Son of God, which he was. And they didn't like that. And in verse 39, we see, therefore, they sought again to take him. Now, if you do your homework, and we'll see it in a minute, they didn't just seek to take him. They sought to take him and stone him. Very angry at him. They wanted him dead. And you'll see this here in a minute. And he escaped out of their hands. So they're trying to kill him. They're seeking his life. But he escapes. And went out again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode or stayed. And many resorted unto him. And John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him. Now continue over to chapter 11. Now a certain man, Jesus, is still out at this pool. He's walked away. He's got away from these people trying to kill him. He's sitting out by this pool. And we see in chapter 11 in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his servants sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now notice this in verse 5. Notice Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Notice in verse 3, when they came and told him of Lazarus, and watch what they said. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest is sick. So question here, is there emotion involved? Yes, there is. With that emotion, if you've ever had a loved one who's sick, is there not with that emotion a pressure to move, to act? You want to see them well. And with that, when emotions are involved, there's always a pressure to get things done now, to get them done speedily. And you can see how those that emotion of love, those feelings of love, can play with timing. They can make decisions faulty. And so Jesus, he's got a loved one here, a man that he loves and cares for, who's sick. And not just that, he's got two sisters of this brother, and he loves them too, and they're begging Jesus to come. You need to come. Lazarus, the one that you love, is sick. You need to come and heal him. And Jesus, he does something very interesting. If you study out the life of Jesus, you realize he's not moved by anything but assignment. He only does what his Father tells him to do. He only says what he hears the Father say. And it doesn't matter how he feels, he doesn't move until God tells him to. And watch what happens here. In verse 5, we see that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he being Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He's got a loved one. They're sick. People that he loves are telling him, come and heal him. You love him. But yet he still stays where he's at 2 more days. Stays in that same place. Why isn't he moving here? Why isn't he going? Why isn't he, you know there's got to be pressure there. Why isn't he making a move? Because he only moves when the assignment comes. I'll show you how I know that. Watch this. In verse 7, verse 6, we see him staying in the same place. And in verse 7, then after that, after what? After he stayed in the same place 2 more days, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Now watch this. This is why he didn't move. Verse 8. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? Notice, where are the disciples' emotions at? They're not thinking about Lazarus at all. In fact, they have been thrilled Jesus has been sitting in this same place for the last 2 days. Because where is their mind at? Their mind is at what happened before and how when we went through that one town, they sought to kill us. So don't you think it'd be good for us to hang out here a couple of more days? You can also see why Jesus didn't move. Why didn't he? Because if he would have moved sooner, they would have stoned him. How do you know that? Let's keep reading. Watch this. They're telling him, Master, don't you think this is a little bit dangerous? We don't need to be leaving here. They're seeking to stone thee. Watch what he tells them. This is so awesome. Watch what he tells them in verse 9. And Jesus answered and said, Are there not 12 hours in the day? Watch this. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Watch this in verse 9. Let's read it again in verse 10. Are there not 12 hours in a day? They're saying, don't go, don't go. It's not time to go. You know the servants are saying, why haven't you gone? We told you 2 days ago, he's sick to the point of death. So he's got people pulling him on one side. Don't do it. And then other people saying, go for it. On this side, don't do it. And then other people saying, go for it. But what is Jesus doing? He's waiting for light. Verse 9, watch. Jesus answered and said, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, what's he talking about walking in the day? Walking in the light. He stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, what's he talking about? It's not just night, but it's also dark. There's darkness there. He stumbleth because there is no light where? Light where? In him. So when does darkness come? Darkness comes when there is no light in us. When you have no light in you, do you move? When do you move? You only move when light comes. He says, look, I'm not moving until there's light in me. And for the past 2 days, Jesus wasn't just hanging out by some river watching John baptize folks. What's he doing? He's waiting for light. He's waiting for light to come into his heart. And he's not moving until that light comes. And when that light came, it didn't matter that 2 days earlier people were trying to stone him. He knew as when that light comes, when that assignment comes, when that direction comes, I couldn't be in more perfect protection. See, we can't get swayed by people. They'll pull on you. We can't be swayed by situation. It'll pull on you. What are you swayed by? Light. When light comes, when you know I'm supposed to move, when you know I'm supposed to act, when you know I'm supposed to step out, that's when you move. That's when you make a move. And friends, I'm telling you, the reason why people have struggled in life in every arena is because they move based off of emotion, need, and pressure, and they don't move when light comes. And oftentimes, it's not that God's not speaking. It's like we said, their emotions and their flesh and their mind is speaking so loud, they don't know light has come. They're still stumbling out in darkness. And what happens when he says, when you get in darkness, what comes after that? Stumbling. Falling. Hurting. But when you walk in the light, there is no occasion of stumbling.
What's he saying? There is no chance. When I'm walking by the light, there's no chance this is not going to be easy. There's no chance that this is not going to flow. When I'm walking according to the light, there's no occasion of stumbling. What moves you? What moves you? I'm telling you, we need to be assignment-minded. The other day, I was having breakfast with an individual, and they were asking me about time management. They've got a lot of things going on, a lot of things rolling, a lot of things that they're involved in. And they were asking me about time management. How do you manage time? You know, when you've got all these things clicking, when you got all these things rolling, how do you manage your time? And normally I would have broken out into a discussion on why to buy a Franklin Covey planner. Big fan of the Franklin Covey planner. I believe in A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, categorizing your time, forwarding to the next day, what needs to be forwarded, delegating to someone else what needs to be delegated. I live by it. I enjoy that. Time's the stuff life is made out of, so you ought to use it right. But I didn't do that. I felt led to go a different direction, and in fact, that's where this message was sparked out of. I was sitting there and I told him what I told you guys a couple of weeks ago. There were, I was praying and it came up in my heart that a businessman was going to call me about a business decision he was making. And I was asking the Lord during this, what do I tell him? Because I know he's going to ask me, what do I tell him? And the Lord said, tell him two things. First, ask him, is it God's will? Is it the will of God that you go after this? Is it God's will? And secondly, what's it going to do for the kingdom of God? For the advancement of God's kingdom? See, anything that God assigns you to, there's going to be a kingdom purpose behind it. I'll give you an example, even with my wife and my kids, obviously, I'm assigned to them. And I know God's will concerning them. For my kids, I'm to raise them in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord. I'm to point them in the direction of God. That's my assignment. Well, you can see that if I fulfill that assignment or fulfill the will of God, what's going to happen? The kingdom of God is going to be advanced in them. Isn't that right? Well, with my wife, I know the will of God concerning me with her. I'm to love her as Christ loves the church. Now, when I do that will, it's going to have a kingdom purpose behind it. There's going to be some things that get sparked in her for the kingdom of God. So whatever I do by the will of God, according to the plan of God, according to that assignment, it's going to further the kingdom in some way. Now, then there are other things that are the desires of your heart. God's not assigning you to them. They're just things that your heart longs for. Now let me say this. Some of those things, it's completely kosher. I mean, it's wonderful. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. And He longs to see the things that you desire come to pass in your life. He's just like any other father. He wants you blessed and He wants you taken care of. But then there are some things, desires, that will pull you away from the assignment. And as soon as it crosses that line, you're on dangerous territory. And so I asked him that question. I said, out of all the things that you're mentioning, you know, and we were talking about family, we were talking about God, we were talking about church, we were talking about volunteering, they were involved in multiple businesses and all of these other things. And so I asked him, out of all the things that you're involved in, and he mentioned working out and other hobbies that he was having, out of all the things that you could do with your time, what has God assigned you to? What's His will? And what is just a desire of your heart? He said, I never looked at it that way before. And friends, the honest to God's truth is, most people never have. Do you know scripturally, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says we are to work for things. Nowhere. I find in the Bible where God blesses us with things. I find in the Bible that we are to work to accomplish His will. And when His will is worked out and it's performed, blessings come. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be or laid beside you. You're not chasing them. You're chasing the advancement of the kingdom. You're pursuing the will of the king. And in pursuing the will of the king, these desires, these needs, they're added to you. You're not supposed to work a job to put food on a table. You're to work the job you're working because you know in your heart God's assigned you to that job. And friends, the reason why so many Christians are struggling is they have thought for the longest they are to work to put food on the table, and they've never stepped out in faith going after the thing that God's put on their heart, and they don't realize that in not walking in that light, they can work every job known to man. No matter what a boss promises, if they're walking in darkness, they will always stumble. Why do you work the job that you work on? You should be working it because you're assigned to it. There's something God wants you to do there. There's an advancement in the kingdom He wants made there. And when you fall over into that place, things flow. Things work. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll show you another witness to this. Then we'll go over to the book of Luke. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me ask you this. Did you have to work for salvation? Is it a free gift? What about healing? Do you have to work for healing, or is it a free gift? So where did we get in our mind we had to work for money? In our redemption, did He not become poor so that we may be made rich? Just like He became sick so that we might be made healed, and just like He became sin so that we may be the righteousness of Christ in God? See, our thinking has been so long tied to what Matthew 6 told us not it to be tied to. Taking thought, I got to provide, I got to make money, I got to make money. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to afford the house and the car and the school and clothes and bills? And God is saying, no, you can't serve me and money. But if you'll seek the kingdom, seek the king's will, then all of these other things will be. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 1, and all the commandments which I command thee this day. So is God giving instruction? Is He giving assignments? All the commandments, the assignments, the instruction which I command thee this day, you shall observe to do them, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, that thou shalt remember the Lord which thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether or not thou would keep His commandments or not. What's God looking for? Are we going to walk in His commandments, walk after His will or not? Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. When light comes, are we going to follow it or are we not going to follow it? And watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We see what happens when we do follow it. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It says, and it shall come to pass. Notice this, it will come to pass. If thou shalt hearken, that means listen, diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all of His commandments. Once again, do we see light come? Is instruction coming? And what's He telling them to do with that light? Do it. Follow through on it. When that assignment comes, follow through on it. And watch what happens when you do. that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will do what? Come on thee. And question, are they trying to get the blessings? What's happening here? The blessings are trying to get them. The blessings are overtaking them. Come on, somebody. They're just, what are they following? I gotta hearken. I'm seeking diligently. When light comes, I'm gonna follow through on it. And when they followed through on that light and they followed through on that instruction, what happened? The blessings came on them. The blessings overtook them. And you see, you keep reading throughout there, you see all the blessings that came on them. They were made the head and not the tail. They were set above and not beneath. They were blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Their cattle was blessed. Their store was blessed. The fruit of their body was blessed. There was none barren in the land, none sick in the land. They were made the lender and not the borrower. Why? Because they were praying with their faith to get blessed. No, they were praying, let me hear you. I need to hear you. I need to do the commandment. And when that commandment came and they did it, the blessing of the law kicked in. When they didn't do it, that's when the curse came. It's the difference between walking in light and walking in darkness. Go to the book of Luke. We'll close with this. Now, I'm not just talking about money. Money is made mention of all throughout the Bible because it is one of those things that can grab a hold of a person's affections like no other. When people are lacking money, and that lack starts building, what happens? They get consumed by it. I mean, it's all they can think about. They're making decisions according to that money. That money's controlling them. And when they pursue too much of it, they fall over into pride. God never designed us to seek things. He designed us to seek Him. In fact, is it not true with the children of Israel? And when He came and delivered them, He didn't tell them first about the promised land. You know what He told them about? I have brought you out to serve Me. I have brought you out to come and worship before Me. And long before they started making that trek across the wilderness, they all bent their knee to their heavenly Father and worshiped Him. And then after that, He led them. So we were never designed to seek things. Things were designed to seek us. The goodness of God in the land of the living was designed to be all around us, to flood our life. We were designed to seek God and to perform His will. So I said all that to say this. Anything else that would grab your affection, anything else that would grab a hold of your emotions and try to steer you, or anything else your heart would long for, it is not your job to seek it. It is your job to seek light. And when light comes and you act on it, what happens? All of these other things, every other thing that would grab a hold of you, that you would seek after and pursue, it's added unto you, because in that assignment is everything you need to run your race. Everything. In Luke chapter 12, we see this in verse 16. And He spake unto them a parable, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns. Luke 12 and verse 18. He said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shalt these things be which thou hast provided. Watch this in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What's going on here? You got a man who just prospered big time. The ship came in. And I mean, he's walking in prosperity that he's never had before. And where does his mind go? Nothing on pleasing God. Nothing about what can I do for the kingdom. Nothing about how can I please God with my life and with this money. All he's thinking about is doing what he wants. So you've set for years. I've set you up well. So I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to be merry. And God said, that's foolish. And he said, everyone who has this happen is not rich towards God. The same thing's happening to them. Now this is what's interesting. People would read that and see, you shouldn't have stuff. See right there. You shouldn't have stuff. No, that didn't say that. What it's saying is when you increase in goods, don't you dare forget about God. Now here's the point. Someone says, well, if I'm not thinking about increasing in goods, what am I thinking about? Watch what Jesus says next. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. He's telling them, stop thinking about you. And he tells them, don't take thought for your life. Don't take thought for any of this stuff. And watch what he says in verse 31. He's telling them about this, but don't take thought for all this, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. And then he adds something in the book of Luke. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the entire kingdom. I didn't fully understand that until a couple of weeks ago. And I was reading the Bloomberg Business Week. And in it, I saw an article on Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is a kingdom. It's also one of the world's leading providers of oil. They're responsible for all these prices. And all the other craziness in the world, but, you know, anyway. But anyway, it was talking about this kingdom and how it was operating. It was talking about, can the continued wealth in Saudi Arabia continue to grow? And in the article, it's a kingdom. It's set up by a king, and there's a king who runs it. And under him, he's got a whole bunch of princes, and they're the ones that control all the money in this kingdom. And the king, it shows a picture of him from behind. And he's sitting up in this huge skyscraper, glass all around him, and he's looking over his kingdom. You could tell he was a little bit older. And on his right was one of his sons. They're looking over the kingdom. What's in the kingdom? All that wealth, all that oil, all those resources. What's he doing? He's training him. He's prepping him how to run this kingdom, how to govern this kingdom. And when I was reading that and saw that picture, I realized what God was saying in this scripture. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you everything in this kingdom. But first, you got to learn to seek it. You got to learn how to do the will of the King. What's in the kingdom of God? Everything under God's reign. Cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, the moral of the story was, stop thinking about you, what you want. When you prosper, what you want to build, what you want to buy. What's he saying? Your job is to take no thought for your life, but to take thought for the will of God concerning your life. To find out what God thinks about it, what he wants you to do. And when you do that, all of those other things that you would try to make happen, they come upon you. Right before Jesus died, he pulled his disciples to him. He said, remember when I sent you out? He said, remember I sent you out 2 by 2 and I told you that when you left, take nothing. Don't take a purse. That was simply what to carry money in. So he's saying, don't take any money. Don't take your scrip. That was travel goods. Have you ever traveled somewhere and knew, hey, we need snacks in the car and movies for the kids? And he said, don't take anything for your journey. Don't take food. Don't take resources. Don't take any money. He said, don't even take extra clothes or anything like that. But rather, go into these cities, and when you get there, tell them the kingdom of God has come near, then heal all the sick. Why? Kingdom needs advertisement. Still does today. Tell them the kingdom of God is coming near, and heal all the sick. Well, that was months and months ago. And right before he went to the cross, he asked them to remember that. Remember that. Remember when I sent you out that way. They said, yeah, Lord, we remember. He said, when you went out, lacked ye anything? They gave a one-word answer. Nothing. What was he doing? He was teaching them how to live by faith. And the biggest part of living by faith is sitting there with your emotions toiling all around you, but you not being moved by anything but the light. And when that light comes, even though you don't know the end result, you step out in faith anyway. Step out on the wisdom you do know. And Jesus says, when you do, you'll lack nothing. Nothing. No relationship, no money, no desire. You will lack nothing. Remember what Jesus said? Boys, boys. It's 12 hours in a day. Half of it's light, half of it's dark. I've learned how to live in the light. Let me ask you, did that situation with Lazarus work out okay? Of course it did. Why? He's walking by the light. Are you? Every head bowed, every head closed. Wonderful audience tonight. I could have preached to you all night. Preached all the right into three services. But we got to leave so we can come back. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before